listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 10, Episode 27 coming your way this week. You're in the company of Kieran Burke and Gary Riley. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And our charity bet partners this season are Bar One Betting. Gary Riley, how are you doing?
Doing well, yeah. Hanging in there.
Disappointing trip to Daly on Sunday.
I think it goes to show the real Gulfland class. We might jibe about Bowes are still third in the table in the Premier Division. I think they're only 3 points behind Pats at the minute. And they're not having a bad season as it happens. So they're professional, I think is the right way to describe it.
Yeah, I think I actually underestimated the strength of their squad, to be honest. I think all of us that know each other or whatever, we were all reckoning Longford had a chance of giving this a rattle at least. And then when I was in the pub on Sunday waiting to head over to Daly Mount, loaded up FAI Connect, seen the teams, and I was like, Jesus, that's a lot stronger, that Bowes team, than I actually realised it would be. And I kind of had a bad feeling from then, really. And then they put the game to bed quite quickly. So, as you said, it's just the difference in squad depth, in standards, in everything. It's huge.
Yeah, I think we had a good vantage point in the away stand for the...
What do you make of the mono?
Yeah, very nice, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, very easy put together. I know it cost them, 150 grand or something? Everything costs 10 times more than it should in this country, but, it seems very simple to put together and easy to manage, and yeah, it was great.
Yeah, stuff can be done, shock horror. But I don't know. I think, we just had a very good view of the goals. I think for Vaughan's opener, Taylor McCarty slipped as he was going to close him down. So it just gave him that bit of space to finish it. And then Whelan with the second goal.
I didn't mean to open the show with this, but we might as well get straight to it. A few comments in the hotline. People are dying for us to suffer. But Whelan's second goal, if you're looking at that there, it looks simple, but it's a classy little finish, isn't it?
That's the point.
That's the levels.
That's what I mean. There's probably very few strikers in the first division that would have put it in as tight to the post. Really gave Keane Moore no chance, and he had a very good game. Sensational saves to keep Longford in the game at all. That's what's going to happen at this level. For teams that don't really have a shout of much else, really, but particularly with Bowes getting knocked out of Europe the other night, the kind of cup is all they've left. So, an expectation for a Premier team to go deep in the cup and hopefully, either qualify through Europe in the cup or make sure that they stay, third or fourth in the Premier Division table, but to be in with a shout of picking up that extra spot. So Bowes still had to go and do it, and they went ahead and did it. They were quite good on the night, and it just shows that the Gulfin class. I think even we were talking a lot there about the game in 2019, where Longford got them to penalties, and it's a damn sight different of a team that Bowes had back then versus what they have now. So yeah, that happens.
Yeah, even I thought someone like Diallo, without having to do much, I thought he ran the midfield. Just very simple, effective passing. Whelan with a couple of really well taken goals. Just a lot of quality in that Bowes team. So I know there was games. We might as well just start now by going through the FAI Cup. It brought us down this route. We'll talk about the big story, which is Rovers, in a little while, but. You look at Bray bringing Galway to penalties. You look at Athlone pushing Waterford. Even Kerry losing 4-0 to Sligo. Kerry created a lot of chances in the game. Didn't take them. Key moments went against them. So you'd look at the other First Division teams and you'd say, and even UCD going down by the odd goal to Derry, you'd say, geez, the other teams have acquitted themselves well. And I know we've got some comments in the hotline about some of those games and some of our listeners' reckon you
well, know. I was at the Derry game as well.
Right, well, we'll get to that in a second because I know you had some strong views on that one. But some of our listeners that were at some of those games or watching some of those other games are trying to make the point to us, oh, you know, the gulf isn't as big as it looks. These are one-off games. Teams can raise their level. We've seen it with Longford last year. Gave Shamrock Rovers a really good game in Talla. You mentioned that game in 2019 where they posed the penalties. They're one-off games. The reason teams are in the first division, the lack of consistency they have compared to the Premier Division teams, particularly if you look, I've said this to you recently, look at the away form of the teams in the first division. And It is shocking how bad all the teams are away from home. It's that level of consistency. And obviously, yeah, the reason that the Premier clubs have that level of consistency, they have the better players, the better squads. So they're going to be more consistent. But across a season, I really feel like if any of those teams in the Premier Division were to go up next year, they would do very well to win more than one or two games.
Yeah, maybe not one or two games. You know, you're always going to have another team in the First Division, or sorry, in the Premier Division that are shit. Like, so you know, you're going to be in some company. Like, I can't remember a time when there wasn't a team very early on. Well, they're going to get relegated, and that'll be that. You know, that's been the saving grace for the team that eventually finishes in ninth. So I wouldn't fully agree that they mightn't, you know, that they'd win one or two games. But I think, it is a fair point with regard to upping your game for, like, you know, you go up to Daly Mount or you go up to the Showgrounds or wherever, that, you know, a bit of a event in itself. And that's absolutely fine. I think it's apart from the Gulf, maybe I was too strong about the Gulf, but like the teams that were talked about there are all lower Premier Division teams. You know, Galway looking over their shoulder, Derry looking over their shoulder, and Sligo bottom of the table, Waterford just about not. So like, you know, there's different classes between the two divisions, and then within the Premier Division. It's the same with like, you know, a few months ago, didn't Sligo beat Rovers and Talla?
Yeah.
You know, anybody can raise their game. You know, you get up for this one in particular or whatever. I think Longford Town probably... I definitely don't doubt the commitment in the slightest from the team. I thought they bursted themselves. But I think even, and I was talking to someone after the game, and it was kind of just like, just the passing is a bit crisper. The receiving of a pass is a bit crisper.
The touch, knowing what you're going to do when you get it, just that decision making is a bit quicker. I was talking to someone that was at the game, and they wouldn't be a Longford Town fan. They're in the Longford end. Wouldn't be, you know, to keep an eye on the League of Ireland wouldn't be a big... And they were surprised by how big the gulf was in that regard from what Bowes could do on the ball compared to Longford. So I do feel that the gulf is huge. We might talk about it more a little bit later on. I want to get your thoughts on that game that was in the bowl, UCD 1, Derry City 2. You got in touch with the BTS Twitter yourself to say that UCD will be sick that they let Derry beat them. You were not a bit impressed by Derry from what I gather.
No. They're really a limited team. They were quite disappointing on the night, I have to say. I think... UCD cracked the post twice in the first half and once in the second half. Probably a bit of naivety as well in the side. And it was a brilliant free kick from Duffy in the first half. I thought Dignam, who got the goal for UCD, it was a really good run. If you look back at the highlights, I think he started that run. He spotted the gap probably in his own half and just made that dart right to the heart of the Derry defence, and slotted it by the keeper, did really well. Unfortunately, I thought he was the worst player on the pitch. I couldn't count how many times he gave the ball away throughout the game. And I'm not talking about like, oh, you know, I tried the long ball. I'm talking like hitting a Derry lad in front of him 10 yards away. I don't know how he wasn't hooked. But by and large, I thought, you know, UCD really acquitted themselves quite well. Maher was dire for the goal, just to make that point. I really don't rate him. Yeah, and I just look, I don't really rate any, really very many on the Derry team at the minute. I think UCD will be, that'll be a bit of a kick in the balls now for a little while, because it would have been a good achievement for them. But yeah, I'm really disappointed with Derry. I thought they were garbage.
Okay. Galway scraping through on penalties against Bray Wanderers. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, like really good, really great finish from Sammy. Cutting in from the right and swinging it in. Probably goal of the night on Friday. But yeah, like said a few of those, like even when they got at the penalties, I was like, I just felt like Galway just had a bit more nous to get it over the line, which it eventually did.
Scored all five of their penalties.
Yeah. Simple as that. You give yourself a right chance when you do that. But that's kind of a bit extra confidence, a bit more, right, we can had a tough game. Bray put it up to us, but now we have the opportunity to just get this over with, and that's what they did. So, yeah, good night at the office an okay night at the office for Galway.
Yeah, and Waterford 2-1 against Athlone, and after the game, Graham Cotlin, he came out and he said, you know, he had given his players a bit of breathing room because he'd been on top of them since the season started, and he thought, you know, maybe this is a good time, let them breathe a bit, and basically, without putting words in his mouth, he pretty much said he won't be doing that again. He wasn't pleased with the performance, despite the fact he got through here.
Yeah, like you know, particularly Athlone with their struggles this season, they've been, you know, another almost season to forget, although there has been a bit of a revival of late. I think they're only like 6 or 8 points off the playoffs, you know, with 10 games to go or so. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, but they'll have to be on real flying form, you know, league-wise to get across. But look, I think the to go a bit closer or to get closer to a team who have had to turn it around this season. But I think, you know, we said it a couple of times before, like we've always thought that Waterford were just badly coached, really. Like, let's be straight about it. Like, they have abilities in that side, and they just weren't cooking. So once they got a bit of that going, then seems to have been a bit of a, you know, a bit of a resurrection in their season. And you know, they got through it in the end. You know, I was complaining about Derry there a few minutes ago. Look, if they got to a final, which I highly doubt they will, it won't really matter that they struggled to get by UCD. The other thing is, and actually, we were saying on the way to the game, you know, like Shamrock Rovers played absolutely nobody on their run to winning the final last year. Like, not a soul did they play. So, you know, I think they only played one Premier Division opponent, and Cork were already relegated when they got that far. So, you know, no real challenge in winning that, but look, they still have to go and do it. And they shit the togs on Sunday as well, so
yeah, we'll get to that in a second. We were just talking about the gulf between First Division and Premier Division. The gulf between non-league and League of Ireland is growing and growing by the year. Drogheda United 3-0 winners in Cork against College Corinthians. Dundalk 8-0 winners at home against Castlebar. I was talking to a Dundalk fan today that was at, don't want to be disparaging against Castlebar, because we went there last year and they gave Longford a feckin' tough game. Goes to show how important home advantage is in these ties sometimes for the non-league teams. To have any chance, they need to be at home, and even at that, against a Premier team, they probably have little to no chance. But he said that it was probably the worst team he'd ever seen in Orion. It could have been 13-14-0. So yeah, very, very worrying about how one-sided these games are becoming. The only downside for Dundalk, Danny Mullen, only on the pitch after coming back from injury, scores and picks up another injury. Hopefully it's not too serious, but a good confidence booster for both teams, I suppose, because Drogheda, I know they're on a bit of an unbeaten run, but they haven't won many games of late, and they are second bottom in the Premier now. And as for Dundalk, good confidence booster for them as they look to try and hold on to that European spot. I know the weekend after this, the new third tier is going to get underway, and we might give that a bit of coverage on the pod now over the next few weeks. But we need something really to try and close the gaps between the three leagues, because it does feel like there's chasms there now between Premier First and the non-leagues.
There is chasms there, but like that's the same everywhere. Is it not? Like, can you name it? Like, when I know it probably in the last year in the Premier League, wasn't it, that two of them stayed up, or did one of them?
Sunderland finished seventh, yeah, which was, I can't remember who the other two, but in all the other recent years, the three that came up had gone down. So, yeah, I take your point.
Yeah, like, I know it's different with money, but and all that shit, but like, you know, there are chasms there. It's just the way it is, and it's very hard to even say establish yourself in a top league, because it's a constant struggle. Whereas, like, you know, Man United even or whatever, it's just bread and butter to them. Like, they've been at it for so long, and they grew up with the increase in finance and other requirements and other shit that they have to do. But like, look, aren't Leicester in League One at the minute?
Yeah.
I suppose 10 years ago they won the bloody thing.
Yeah, I suppose the difference here is the non-league sides are not helping them. Now, I know Castlebar are actually an exception to this. They play a summer league in Mayo, but the other non-league teams, they haven't aligned with the League of Ireland Canada. Mm-hmm. And they're getting absolutely pumped in these games. I mean, to give themselves any chance, they need to be playing at the same time as the League of Ireland clubs.
Yeah, but like, no one's going to sit around and go, here, lads, you're after getting stuffed again in the FAI Cup. Like, and they're like, yeah, but like, okay, grand. We change our whole lives to align with the summer league. And then, they might just start scoring a few goals in some of these games.
Mm.
You know, that's another 10 years of progression before you start challenging anybody. But the other thing is, like, if a lad is all right in some of these leagues, there's enough people knocking around at like League of Ireland clubs sniffing. I know a lad, some lad texts another lad, we'll take him on at first division level, you know, come down, start training with Bray, Jizzy's great, gives himself an opportunity, you know. Longford Town have been successful with that, or in a few players, and you know, in the last 10 years, like, where was David O'Sullivan before we signed him?
He was with Wayside Celtic.
Was he actually with Wayside? Right. So there you go. Like, do you know what I mean? And he was probably scoring 10 goals a game back then. Like, it wasn't exactly, geez, we don't know what we're going to get with this fella.
I suppose we're reopening an old can of worms here, but some of these non-league clubs, and I'm not talking about College Corinthians or Castlebar here, but some of these non-league teams are probably giving players more money than they would get with teams that are in the lower reaches of the first division.
Maybe not open that can.
Yeah, but like, you know, do you want?
But part of it is like, if you're in the EUL or Leinster Senior or whatever, you're not going down to Kerry for Friday night.
That's what I mean. Yeah. If you're going to get a few bob handy with your localish team and play away, and you can be a decent player at that level, are you going to say, well, do you know what? I'd love to test myself. I might drive up to Donegal here for 4 hours and get £50 for or whatever the minimum wage is, or amateur contracts or that. We'll not get into all that. But I suppose this is what I spoke about recently on the pod. If we're going to improve the overall league, you need to start strengthening your bottom link. And I just think the bottom of that first division really needs some sort of bit of support.
Yeah, that's true. But like, you know, last week we were talking about, I was talking about like the state of some of the grounds.
Hmm.
You know, this is the top level of the game in the country. You know, and you wouldn't put a dog into some of the grounds. So it's not, you know, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done, lively. And, you know, there has to be a balance struck between, right, we still have the top league in the country still has to get some stuff, because it can't go on the way it's been going on, or the way it has been for the last number of years. Like, even I was talking to a lad there the other night after the Bulls game, and he mentioned something about the Harps ground situation, and I was like, should have to knock the thing that they've half built up there. It's like, that's condemned. You know what I mean? So it's not easy gathering up all this stuff. unfortunately, like some of the changes at the FEI, if they could wake up tomorrow and have it all done, I'm not even sure they'd take that because it'd be such a mess for so long. It takes years to make these changes and have them stick and then see the fruits of them. So it's not just as handy just to go, yeah, we'll just start doing all this and it immediately has a result. Like, this is a long old slog. And look, it's a Premier Division draw now. Any draws that take your fancy?
Well, we'll just go through the last couple of games here. So while we talked Sligo 4, Kerry 0, we talked about Longford-Bowes. That just really leaves us with Pat's Rovers. Now, we were talking on last week's show about Croke Park Gate and the 82,500 going to watch Man United in Leeds. And God love them, fair play to them. I suppose we've still got work to do in our own quarters. I was in a bar in the shadows of Dalymount Park the other day and was hoping to catch the second half of the Pats Rovers game. I had been watching it on the phone on the way up in the car. Got up to Dublin nice and early to have a few pints, bit of food, and walked into this bar. Probably 10 TVs on the wall. Every single TV was showing the Community Shield from England. I couldn't get Pats Rovers on. So that was... That was disappointing. But now, in fairness, the pub across the road, I popped in for one there beforehand and they had LOI TV on showing old games and they were going to show the Bowes Longford game there. So I just picked the wrong spot, I suppose. But as a result, I didn't get to see as much of this as I would have liked. I did see all of the first half and Pats started the game with real intensity and, you know, created a couple of half chances and I had the commentary up loud and herself was like, just actually sounds like a decent game. I was like, yeah, Pats have started really well. And then kind of 25 minutes, half an hour in, I had said nothing. She's like, you're going quiet there. What's happening? I was like, they've run out of ideas already.
Yeah.
I was like, this is, you know, trademark Pats in the league, all the ball, early bit of pressure and haven't got the breakthrough and they ran out of ideas now. And then they went 2-0 down and I was like, oh, geez, this is a dreadful, dreadful result for St. Pats. And I didn't really get to see much of the comeback. I had it on in the bar on the phone, but wasn't really paying great attention to it. So I'm not really sure what happened in the second half. I'm not sure if you had a better viewing of it than me, but
I watched a bit of it. I was pricking at something, so I wasn't just paying full attention to it other than the screeching and shouting from the commentator. I think the penalty was soft. It does kind of nick him, but...
I thought it was a penalty.
Yeah, no, I'd be leaning towards penalty myself, and was Neil Doyle. He gave himself a few seconds to think about it, but you know, then I looked at the replay, Lee Grace. I should have just known that like it was going to be one of the magic tree that ploughed into some lad and then couldn't believe a penalty was given away. But I suppose also then, you know, why would he believe it? They've gotten away with murder. The three amigos there for the last like 5 years. So
keeper should save it as well.
It was really hammered in.
He's not having a fantastic season, Ed McGinty. Yeah. He had a very poor game against Dundalk a couple of weeks ago. The very flappy under the corners. He dropped one leading to the first equaliser. His distribution was woeful at times on the night. I think he's having a poor season by his standards.
Yeah, it seems to be a serious lack of keepers in the league at the minute that are, you know, getting, you know, consistent games under their belt. But yeah, I suppose the story of the whole thing is on one hand, really bad week for Shamrock Rovers, good week for Bobby Burns.
signed the new contract today, the left back
himself.
And he scored against Castlebar.
Oh, there you go. Oh, well, sure, everybody got a goal against them. And then, Rooney getting the winner at the end, the young player that came on. Great story for Pat. So, yeah, look at it. Really,
I think he's a talent lad as well, funny enough.
He is, yeah. I don't know if it was that his first. It was first senior cup game, maybe. I can't rightly remember. I was listening to the commentary when they were talking about him, but looking at the difference in the end, and
They needed that pad still, because if they lose that, their season's
season was completely finished. Yeah. So yeah, they still have something to play for. I'm not 100% sure if they have any real shake in the league in them. But do want to highlight, I thought Sean Hoare was absolutely geek. I don't know how he's getting games. It's really surprising to me. Did Gravasi play for Dundalk the other day, do you know?
I don't know if he played in the cup game. He played against Rovers the week before, and you could tell, geez, this lad hasn't played much football. He was very, very rusty.
Very rusty, yeah. Well, look, opportunity now to shake that rust off him, get a few games going, and I think he's a good signing for Dundalk. I don't think we mentioned it really at the time.
Just going back to Rovers and Ignacia, some people have said that it's up there with, you know, Bose TNS, Longford, Carmarthen. Do you hold it up there with those?
I think so. I think probably those historic ones are a bit more, you know, hurtful. A bit, not only because it was Longford, but also we weren't really, you know, there wasn't like, oh, who's playing in Europe tonight? Oh, Shells are playing. Oh, Derry are playing. Oh, Bowes. You don't know who's playing. There's so many European games on now. Mm. So it's like the novelty. You know, a few weeks ago, I mentioned, like, I found some stream somewhere, some lad, you know, watching Cork City play in a European qualifier in 2015 in a cage somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, that's how much of a novelty it was. And now, you know, I wouldn't give a shit about half those games. You know, but I wouldn't be interested in watching them as much. It is a complete capitulation. It is up there with those games, in my estimation. Particularly, you know, Longford losing against Carmarthen was one thing, but the league has come on a sight since then.
Yeah, and I suppose so has all the other lesser European leagues. I mean, the Welsh League is stronger now than it would have been back then. But also the League of Ireland has obviously come on, and
like, let's be honest about it. Like, you're talking about a team that is, like, would say qualified into the knockout phase of the Conference League 2 years ago and was in the Conference League last year.
Mm.
Now, they didn't have a good time.
I think it's just the manner. It's the manner, isn't it? To lose 5-1, to be 4-0 down at half time, and for them to have a man sent off and then to go 5-0 down.
Yeah.
It's just the manner of it. It's just unbelievable, really.
Yeah, and I think you know, a lot of people after the World Cup are crying for Pico playing for Ireland and this and that and the other. I think certainly one of the goals I saw was a good example as to why he wasn't, you know, playing for Ireland or further afield in his career. Good solid League of Ireland defender, but I think, you know, in I'm not saying that the World Cup or the you know, Europa League qualifier is more important or more tense or anything like that, but, like, I think you know, if you want to be, you can't be giving away goals like that in games like that.
And funny enough, the game against Dundalk that I referenced, that was a very, very different team, a much changed Rovers team on the night, but the level of their defending that night was from both teams. Obviously Dundalk gave away some shocking goals, but the amount of times Rovers played themselves into trouble or got turned over in possession on the edge of their own area or left a back pass short to the keeper, the amount of mistakes they made. And I did think to myself, I know this isn't the same group of players that will be playing in that European second leg, but if they carry this sloppiness into it, then they could be in trouble. Now, I didn't expect them to get hammered like that, but I kind of did fear that it'd give away a typical Irish European stupid goal away from home. And that's exactly what played out. And even Shells had a great result, obviously, at home to Ajax. Great occasion, and they played really, really well. But and I know Ajax took their goals well and they're good finishes, but they were both very avoidable goals. And they came at times when, if they don't concede them, the tie actually could have, I know they were never going to get back into the tie, but they could have kept the tie alive for a little bit longer if they didn't give away the two stupid goals that they did. It's just a frustration. You even go back to that great Dundalk team in 2016. I can think of one where Brian Gartland, I think it was against Zenit, got caught trying to play out from the back.
Yeah.
And it's just like baked into Irish teams in Europe that they give up these calamitous goals away from home.
Yeah, like you'd imagine, like, you know, You know,
who do we think we are? Like,
yeah. You know, like during the summer break or whatever, right? You just start scratching your head, right? You know, we have these teams to play in this qualifier for Europe. Like, you know, let's change our approach to these games, and let's see if we can be a bit more industrial and make it a bit more difficult, or easier for ourselves, I should say. You know, instead of farting around their own 6-yard box. I think I saw a bit of that there on Friday, where like UCD were a bit too dedicated to how they play. And as the game wore on, right, they kind of just, right, we need to get a few chances here. You know, put a bit of pressure under the back line and didn't really do that. Excuse me. But I think it was really easy to see. And to be fair to Stewie Byrne, who managed to compose himself to do the commentary with RT there on Sunday, he made a very good point. It was like, I think it just maybe 5 or 8 minutes left. I think it was after the goal from Rooney, and Rovers were like, okay, we've time, let's just keep playing the way we play. And that just kind of withered into the last minute of extra time as a whole. And there wasn't really this, like, we need to pump this ball in quick. We need to create a bit of pressure here, get the ball into the box, pack the penalty box. It'll fall to some lad if he can pull on it, and it might smack in. Who knows what had happened. But that never really materialized. And it was interesting that you bring that up, like, you know, we'll say the example of Ryan Gartland making up tags of it. And that, I think the game you're talking about, was that in?
I could have the wrong game, but I just remember him making a bad one in 2016.
I remember that. I think he was wearing black, and they were wearing black that day in St. Petersburg.
It was a good kit, that.
Yeah. Because I remember Daryl Horgan. Wasn't it that he got the ball near the halfway line and just kept running?
Yeah.
So look, it's just it is unfortunate. I think the kind of blown, it would have obviously been more calamitous if this was the Conference League and that knocked them out of the Conference League and no European football. I think we're talking a lot all summer about Jeopardy this and Jeopardy that and the groups and this, that and the other. I think if you're Shamrock Rovers and you're getting into your a Champions League route as champions, kind of takes the jeopardy, you know, Conference League is our level. So if we win a game in this Champions League route, class, and isn't it great? But they know that they'll probably have a really good chance of getting into the Conference League.
The bookies are never too far wrong, and they make Rovers the ever slight favourites to qualify through this tie against Cups or Cupes, whatever way people are pronouncing it. But it's
who, like, played them recently?
Derry played them a few years ago and beat them.
Right.
Maybe 23-24 season-ish, in around that cut. Now, since then, they seem to have kicked on. I was looking today. They got into the league phase of the Conference League last season. They drew with Palace. Now, Palace were probably already through at that stage, I think. But they got some good results. They got to the knockout round last season, and I think it was Lech Poznan beat them.
Right. Actually, just what I think of that is a good show on the old Derry. I think, didn't Keane Kavanagh score a goal?
Oh, possibly. It was 4-3. I only know because I looked it up today. I knew in the back of my head that they had played a League of Ireland team in the last few years.
Yeah, it was Derry.
Derry beat them 4-3 over two legs. But no, as I said, they got some good results in the... I think they beat Slovan Bratislava in the league phase last season. And we've seen Slovan Bratislava pick apart a few Irish teams down the years. So these are a decent outfit. This is
no mugs.
This isn't a case of, oh, well, we've dropped into the Conference League now and we're playing Larne. You know, they're up against a decent side here.
Yeah. Oh, poor Larne. No mention of them at all in probably 3 years in this pod. Oh, you're not playing Larne. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, they need to pick themselves up quite quickly. Like, when is that game? Next week, is it? It's Thursday.
This Thursday coming. His first leg's in Tala, and then second leg is away, which is automatically a problem given their away form in Europe this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to need to be 10-0 up after the first leg, to be sure.
Yeah, yeah. They need to definitely start wising up quickly.
Biggest week of their season here.
This is their season. They've fallen on two fronts, like.
Yeah.
It is an important week. There's no question about that. They need to get it up and keep it going. I don't know what'll happen. Obviously, I have no clue. It's very hard to be confident in them. You know, we said a couple of weeks ago that you know, Shamrock McGrover's, you know, because if they had won that tie, they'd be guaranteed Conference League. No more playoffs. Shout to get in, get more money, get higher caliber of opposition. You know, who knows who you could have got, you know, in the Europa League. You're going to play, I don't know, some big Spanish team, or you know what I mean? Like, you could have had a real cool tie. And who gives a shite if you got bet 8-0 yourself? It would have been a great achievement, or a great occasion, I should say, not even achievement. So yeah, now they have to really knuckle down and concentrate on it. No soliloquies, no novels from our main man, Stephen Bradley, since
no. Well, he did say he held his hands up, said it was the worst performance in his tenure.
I wouldn't say that. He's suffering from a bit of recency bias himself. I can show you a few games where it was even worse than that. But that's fair enough. Probably not no one there to wait on his every word.
We'll get to the FAI Cup draw. So even before the draw, you would have said 8 Premier Division teams left in there. It looks extremely open. It still looks open after the draw, because I'm very sceptical, like yourself, guys. I thought Pats and Bows would have been kept miles apart, to be honest, but they're going to play each other. Derry will play Dundalk, Waterford will play Sligo, and Drogheda United will play Galway. Those two ties there, Waterford, Sligo, Drogheda, Galway. What a chance for those teams to get to the semi-final of the FAI Cup.
Certainly. seems like it's all paired on placing in the
Yeah, that's incredible, actually, yeah.
Galway draw out of Sligo, Waterford. Drogheda and who?
So you draw out of Galway, so that's Galway 7th, Drogheda 8th, Waterford, Sligo, Waterford. So Drogheda's 9th, sorry, Drogheda's 9th, or Galway 7th?
Oh, Jenny Mac. Surely we can just look at the table, no?
We could, yeah, but it's fun to try and get it off memory. Waterford are currently 8th and Sligo are bottom. So right. Really, it should have been Waterford against Drogheda there if we wanted to keep it league-wise, league table position. But then you obviously second Pats against third Bows, and Derry are what, 5th, and Dundalk are or Derry are 6th and Dundalk are 4th. But yeah, close enough.
Right. It's in around the same place. Right?
In around the same, yeah.
We'll cut that out. Jeez. Like there's opportunities there, as you said. Definitely for Drogheda, I feel. You know, will they have a bit of unfinished business from obviously their plight last year, not playing in Europe. Waterford, you know,
momentum, home draw,
momentum, playing against a bad team or a team that's probably going to be relegated. You know, you don't want to give any real opportunity or real feeling in Sligo that they could do something in the league, so just bait them solidly in the cup. I think that Derry Dundalk game is in the Brandywell, is it?
Yeah, I think if that was a home draw there, Dundalk would have been happy enough. And no, I still don't think they'll go up to Derry and fear them at all. Don't think there is anything to fear in Derry, as you pointed out earlier on.
Is there a bit of just we have to throw a bit of a face on the season type idea for Derry.
The other thing is now, with that draw today, Pats Bowes, one of them is going to go. That will leave just one of the top three going into the semi-finals. So it's actually a very bad draw for the likes of Derry and Dundalk today. aside from having to face each other, their chances of a top three team winning the cup, if they were to sneak into fourth, massively reduced.
Yes, that's very true. Do you see Pats or Buzz winning the thing?
I see Pats probably, look, just because they have home advantage, might scrape by Buzz. I think they could be stopped, though. I don't think they're...
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think everybody's stoppable.
I haven't seen any revised betting yet for the cup, but I'd imagine Pats are favourites. But if you told me Pats got to the final and lost to Waterford or lost to Drogheda, I wouldn't be shocked in the slightest.
No, nor I. Nor I. I think that's a fair point there. Like, there's no... I can't believe that happened. Yeah, that's a fair point. I think Dundalk should really be targeting this. You know, they have a good opportunity to get it to a semi-final themselves. If the draw goes well, you know, you could be playing a team significantly below you. Who knows? You could get a draw at a Dundalk semi-final.
We were talking about this the other day, actually, myself and Kira. I'd say the FAI's worst nightmare right now would be a Dundalk draw at a final. That would
be a killer.
Yeah, it'd be a policing nightmare, that.
I know what you mean.
What's the FAI's dream final here in terms of numbers at the Aviva? Is it?
Oh, Pats Bowls.
Well,
I know that can't happen.
Not happen. You're probably looking for Bowls.
Bowls and Dundalk. I think like Dundalk getting to the final. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I suppose Dundalk haven't been there in a few years. I know Dundalk are a rural club, but like a Waterford or particularly a Sligo would bring a huge crowd up there too. I know Derry have in the last few years as well.
I think that there'd be a lot of trauma in the Sligo fans. I know it's still a big occasion and stuff like that, but
that's a long time since they were in a cup final too. It's hard to know.
2013 when they won it, was it?
Yeah, bring around that cup.
Well, that was Danny Northgate.
I'm just thinking though from a final point of view. Did I read recently, or did someone send us ticket prices?
Yes, good shout, good memory. Yeah, mental money. I think they're back up at 30 something euro or something now.
Yeah, like we're not going selling out a cup final at those prices. I don't think. I don't know what the thinking is behind that.
No, I don't think we would. I think. I think some things, you know, don't have to be road solid. And selling out a cup final, you know, like some things can just be nice for the day that's in it.
I'm just looking here. The lowest price tickets at the moment coming up on my screen here is €28.45. That probably excludes the booking fee. So you can say 30 quid there.
That's mental money.
And then I'm just looking for, I wonder what a premium, can you get any premium seats here at the minute? Because I always go premium every year for the cup final.
Oh yeah, but you're only doing that because it was an extra fiver on a regular ticket.
It has been slowly creeping up the last years, but I'm absolutely happy to pay. So here's, block three. So a premium ticket is €42.25 each. That's scandalous.
That's big dollar. Yes.
That is scandalous.
Yeah, but you'll be treating me to a box this year, won't you? The BTS box.
Yeah, but I'd love to know what the thinking is there, marketing wise, because we had that great occasion a couple of years ago, Pat's Bowes, where they described it as a sellout. It wasn't exactly because of those ridiculous seat kills and everything else. Since then, there's been a drop off in the cup final attendances, and now the logic is right. Let's charge even more, and see can we fill the Aviva like. That's poor. Was filling the cup final every year not part of that blueprint a couple of years ago?
Yeah, but that's more of an aspirational document rather than anything
stuff seems to be very aspirational.
Yeah, well, look, it's a big topic in the country at the minute. Aspiration and no execution.
Anyway, that's the FAI Cup. Those ties coming up early, 6th of September, those ties coming up are that week.
Well, one thing that's been noted, There's going to be a lot of shite, like with changing games and Europe, and well, will there be? No, there won't be. Sure, it's only Shamrock Rovers.
When Rovers Shells is off this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I know Ethan's favourite thing is the amount of fixture changes in this league. I think it was this year before before a ball was kicked after the fixtures were announced. Oh, fixture change. It's like, what? Nothing has happened yet. Jesus.
Yeah. But look, let's go through this week's fixtures and hold my hands up. This is the third bloody podcast I've recorded today. I did two podcasts at work today and now I'm doing this one. So I hold my hands up. I took my eye off the ball today and I forgot to put out the tweet for the predictions league, but the wife is going to bail us out here. Kira Burke's going to play for us. But I better just update the listeners first on how things went last week, Gary.
Right.
I got the DM from Carol Kelly as usual earlier today. Breaking news. Gary doesn't come out on top this round. Load. It's not loading. Here we go. It was... Damn it, the listeners came out on top, not me. I was hoping... Well, no, we actually shared the spoils. There we go.
Oh, how embarrassing.
I got one correct score, which was the UCD Derry game, and I got three correct results. Galway Bray, Waterford Athlone, and Pats Rovers. And the listeners did exactly the same. The difference was, they got the same set of, they got the UCD Derry correct score, they got Galway Bray correct result, Waterford Athlone correct result, and they got the Bowes Longford result right. You did okay, you got four correct results, you just didn't land any correct scores, so 6 points for me and for the listeners, and 4 points for you.
Oh, I'm sick with that now. I thought I was going to piss through, get 30 in a row or something like that would have been nice, but I'll settle for the old 20 or whatever. My record was...
I can't remember who played for the listeners last week. Apologies, but it was a good bounce back anyway, because you'll remember the week before that, Kian played and he got nothing. So yes. Listeners got 6 points this week. I got 6 points and you got four. So latest table in the BTS Predictions League. I'm bottom on 114. Listeners are on 126 and you are on 166 for the season.
166, we'll take that.
We'll start with Drogheda United against St. Pat's. I suppose to use an old cliche, Sullivan and Lamb Park, difficult place to go, but it doesn't actually seem to have been for Pats. You look at their record in this fixture, I don't think they've lost against Drogheda since 2023. So look, if they want to go winning league titles, have to be winning games like this. Kira is going for a 1-1 draw, though.
I'm going to go 2-1 to Pats.
Drogheda, Pats. Pats went extra time, take a bit out of the legs. I've been saying it for a while. I am worried about Drogheda in the Premier. I think they might end up finishing ninth. So look, as I said, Pats have to win this really. I'll follow you. I'll go 2-1.
Yeah.
Dundalk against Galway. Dundalk celebrating their centenary in the League of Ireland. I wasn't aware. I thought it kind of has been marketed as their centenary. And I thought, I was fairly sure that they were older than Longford Town than they are. This is 100 years in the League of Ireland. But they brought out a new kit, getting mixed reviews online, but there was a few events going on around Oriel on Friday. I think I'll be there, so we'll throw up a few bits and pieces on the old BTS Twitter. But above all, they want to cap off all of that with a win against Galway. Will they get the 3 points?
Yeah, this is part of the whole... This is part of Turner's Crossgate, this fixture.
Yes. Yeah.
I think, what do you think yourself as a Dundalk man?
I think they will just edge it 2-1.
Yeah, the one thing for me, while I'd be inclined to go that direction, I'd be kind of like the physicality of Galway. I know they had their extra time the other night, but like.
Dundalk are still playing well. They're just leaking goals at the minute, but
it's as if Galway are free scoring.
That's what I think. They'll just shed it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 1-0 Dundalk.
Wouldn't be surprised. Can I put up a red card in this one?
You can,
for a bonus point. I think it could be meaty. Everything that went on, as you said, between the two earlier in the season, Turner's Crossgate, Caulfield. There, I think there's a couple of players in the Dundalk team that were under him that probably don't have the best opinion of him. So yeah, I think that could be an interesting game at Oriel on Friday night.
Can I go scorer bonus in this game?
What are you going for?
For a goal scorer.
A goal scorer, yeah. We usually keep it to the live game, but I'll allow you that. Go on.
No, we don't keep it to the live game.
Well, that's
we don't. That's new. You're only trying to put me down now. That's all you're trying to do.
Go on, give me your goal scorer, you bollocks.
Hey, Dervin. Scored
is
against
it, is the there a reason? Okay, just that's the reason.
Yeah.
So why didn't you put Bobby Burns up then? Probably more likely than Dervin.
Bobby Burns, the left back.
Yeah, the left back.
To score against his former team.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, so.
So you're going to stick with Dervin?
I am going to stick with Dervin.
I'll put Bobby Burns for an extra bonus point.
Okay.
I need everything I can get. Bose against Derry. Look, I know, obviously, there was that golf in class, but we would have been impressed with what we saw from Bose on Friday. You weren't impressed with what you saw from Derry. Is this going to be a Bose win?
Yes, it is. Yep, 2-0.
Okay.
2-1 to Bose.
I'll go 2-0. And sorry, did I give Kira a score for the Dundalk game? I didn't. She is going for a 3-1 win to Dundalk. No surprises there. And for this game between Bose and Derry, she's going for a 2-1 win to Bose.
Yeah, definitely see that. I think, so they played, I know, first division opposition, but, they were just very crisp. I didn't see any crispness at all from Derry. Actually, just speaking of that Derry game, do you think that James McLean knows they got through?
You didn't bump into him, no?
No, I didn't bump into him, actually. Shocking.
Busy with the old gym videos these days.
Oh, right. Oh, he's turned into a bit of a fitness hun, is he?
Mm.
Right, okay. Great. No.
What was the other thing I was going to say? Your favourite phrase on the podcast down the years, and I think this is the quickest I've ever had to say it, but I think you were right about something.
Okay.
Paddy Madden.
Yeah.
You were very skeptical of that signing last week. I was very positive about it, but
he's nailed on good a score against.
Yeah, I don't want to be mean, but one comment I did see from podcast listener Julian Canny was that it was like he won a raffle ticket to play in that game on Sunday.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, it's
yeah. We'll see how he gets on. Sligo Rovers against Waterford.
Oh, Jenny Mac, this would have been a huge game a few months ago.
It still is, but I just think Waterford will lie. I think they'll deal with this easy.
Yeah.
2-1.
I'm going to go 2-0 to Waterford. I think they're just doing a bit of striding at the minute. You know what I mean? They're walking around with the chest out, And I think it'll be a game like this that this could be a very damaging weekend for Sligo. And
this could be it. Yeah, this could be it.
This could be confirmed death. Yeah.
Did you read Sligo's statement that they released about the proposed change of model? You're aware of it anyway.
I am aware of it, yeah.
Yeah, and funny enough, last night, Cliftonville, it looks like they're going
to... They voted to take it on a sponsorship, wasn't it? Or ownership?
To take on, I think Canadian ownership, if I'm not wrong.
Toronto Investment Group or something they're calling seen themselves.
Seen a bit of Canadian money coming into the first division and... I don't know. You can ask the people who follow that club, but I don't know if they'd say it's been overly positive. But obviously Cliftonville are one of the long-standing members clubs on the island. So look, Sligo look like they're trying to not entirely move away from that model, but once you kind of start to go down that road, I think there's only one route you're taking. Cliftonville going down that road. Finn Harps are talking about moving away from their membership model as well. It'll really just be Bowes left standing in that regard.
Yeah, we're talking about in the League of Ireland anyway, like Finn Harps, like we're talking about rural teams where, there aren't the same number of people knocking around that there once were to take up those volunteering positions and make those commitments over a long period of time. It is a lot easier. I don't care what any Bows fan says, I'm not sure too many disagree, the difficulty of volunteering at a club at the League of Ireland level where you know, there's so much even forms to fill in and shit with FIFA and UEFA and all this other stuff. Like, and you're just like, I'm down in a tiny little office in the middle of Ireland here. You know, leave me alone.
I think evidence of that as well, actually, is you look at that away end on Sunday in the Bowes Longford game.
Yeah,
Longford had over, I think, about 350 fans there.
Yeah,
and look, a lot of people were saying online, geez, where did these people come from? They can barely get that at a home game. There was a huge amount of people there from Longford living and working in Dublin.
Oh, shocking. There's lads I haven't seen in the boundaries of Longford probably in 10 years.
Yeah.
But I've seen them plenty in Dublin. It's just it.
Yeah.
So, I've often said before, you know, one of the worst things for Longford was the M4.
Where were we? Sligo, Waterford. You give me your prediction there.
2-0 Waterford.
Okay, I'm going 2-1 Waterford, and Kira going 2-1 Sligo. So fair play to her; she's giving them some hope. Shamrock Rovers Shell is postponed due to Europe, so we will move into the first division.
Is that postponed until Sunday?
No, it's postponed. It's not going ahead. It was due to be Sunday. It's off.
How did they manage to swing that?
It was announced a few days ago. I was only aware of it today myself, to be honest.
That's amazing.
Look, I suppose
there's zero need for that. That is a disgrace. That is a disgrace. And
PSG can get games called off in France to focus on the Champions League. So
I don't give a shit what PSG do. I don't give a shit what anybody does in France. Actually, why is that game should not be called off? That's no need for that. They've been playing on Sunday for the past month.
It does. Yeah, it does seem a bit. It does seem a bit excessive.
And I'll tell you one thing, if I was a Shells fan, I wouldn't be agreeing with any of that. That's bullshit. And actually, speaking of bullshit, what did you make of the, what do you call it?
The punishment?
Punishment.
So obviously I was at that game. I was at that game last week, and when I first saw that
disgrace, that's nearly, you should get a punishment for going to that game.
I obviously knew straight away it was a very serious incident. When you see the TV pictures back, you realise it's even worse. Now, as I said last week, there was a lot of attention took off it due to the spat between the two managers.
Mm-hmm.
And my fear was that kind of attention would be diverted away from it. But the authorities, it took them a while to get to a decision, but they've got there in the end. We're told significant fine by Shamrock Rovers, but no, we have no information on what that is. And obviously a suspended closure of the, is it the South Stand there that is, as it's known?
Yeah.
When I seen the incident first, as I said, I knew it was serious. And my first thought was, well, these boys had a suspended thing hanging over them for a while after the RSC incident with the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that. That's probably further back than we actually even remember. I can't remember what year that was. Maybe you do, but
2022, I would have thought.
Yeah, I was going to say it could be 3 or 4 years at this stage. So that suspension has well and truly passed. I suppose there's two ways of looking at it.
Okay, can I just say one thing? Just say one thing, right? Get the suspended sentence, right? But like, you know, that was probably the you know, most egregious fan incident. You know, and Shamrock Rovers haven't been without them.
We had the incident in the Brandywell as well.
Which was,
and you've had a couple of incidents with Dundalk Trotters and stuff.
I'm talking about, like, let's say, you know, I know a lot of teams have like bad recent history, but like this was a, you know, probably the most high profile.
I'm not sure. I think the recent Dundalk Trotters one probably generated more headlines, probably because of the minister. But the point I was going to make, since that incident between that incident in the RSC, we've had all the shit with Dundalk Drogheda, multiple incidents between them clubs. We've had, as you said a couple of weeks ago, Lino getting struck with an object by the away fans in
Drogheda Park or wherever it was
during the Rovers game. We've had the firework fiasco in the Brandywell. We've had numerous incidents, and they've increased with seriousness each time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been waiting for the FAI to come out and put their foot down, and it's still not happening. And it all goes back to that time They rode back on the behind closed doors for Rovers. They reversed it. They gave them a €5,000 fine, and the floodgates have opened since.
Yeah, to a degree, I think. Like the South Stand, like they're not filling Tala anyway. Do you know what I mean? It's not, right. You don't sit in your normal place.
We're just gonna
over there.
Yeah.
There's no penalty for that either. But it is another example of we're treating this with
Do you feel there should have been some sort of closure for what happened? Is that unfair? It was one idiot.
Yeah, but Everton's one idiot, or Everton's 10 idiots, or 100 idiots.
But if this was one idiot.
Yeah, but sure. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think there has to be penalties, and that, we've often said before, there's actually some of it has to be, we're not doing flares. We're not doing this. Some of it can't all just be the club as a whole, as an entity in itself. The club is more than just the lads walking around and drinking tea in a hospitality suite and all the work that they also do. But do you know what I mean? There's more to it than that. I think I'm not saying for certain whether everybody has to feel the wrath, and I'm not exactly okay with that either. Mm. But I don't think there was very many people that were overly annoyed when Rovers got that stadium ban a few years ago. They were more annoyed that it was rolled back on when they changed it to a €5,000 fine or whatever it was. I think more people were annoyed about that than the ban itself.
Yeah, I just think they've missed a few chances now to kind of stamp this out.
But also, like a South Stand ban is also stone nothing.
Yeah, stone nothing. As I said, with the incident in Oriel earlier in the year with the pitch getting set on fire, and that the Drogheda fans got 4 away game ban. That was a complete waste of time. As you said many times before, a much greater message there was the next time LOI TV is broadcast from Drogheda, it's COVID times. The place is empty. Yeah. That sends out a far greater message.
Yeah.
So, even if some Egypt does run on the pitch between now and the end of the year in Thailand, they close the South Stand, what difference does it make? They'll just shift the boys over to other seats. Thought it was interesting the statement from Rovers mentioned an indefinite ban. Would love to know how enforced that will be. We've seen numerous occasions of lads getting bans at clubs, and if they are banned from home at all, they're certainly not banned away. So love to know how that's enforced. But an incident like that, like the lad ran on the pitch, he tried to assault the door player at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. He should have been arrested.
Can I ask you, just while we're on the topic of people running onto the pitch and attempted assault, did you see any statement about that chap that ran on to the Brandywell pitch?
No, never heard more about that.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it didn't happen, but
no, UEFA gave them a good fine as well, and also gave them a suspended closure.
But they don't need to worry about Europe then, boys. But I'm sure Derry would have been very interested in banning that person themselves. I would have expected a statement. Maybe we both missed it.
There's been a few complaints about from people within the Derry media, I suppose, and Derry fans have complained at times communication isn't fantastic out of the club. I can't say either way. Like I've dealt with Derry on a media level, and I've always found them good to deal with. But some people feel that information hasn't been as free flowing as it should be at times. So we should
have James McLean watch straight from Derry every day.
I think off the pitch, the structures there need to improve. And I've said this time and time again, all the money they're piling into the playing squad there, they should be looking at off the pitch. And I think that goes for a lot of clubs around the league. It's great that players are getting paid more and we have better squads. So many clubs still been completely powered off volunteers.
It's a tough one. It's not going to be easy to change, especially when if you can rely on a few volunteers to fill a gap, and next year there's a few extra thousand for a few players. Like I say, it'd be hard for even volunteers to go, Jesus, no, I want to get paid, or I need to feed my own family or anything like that. Especially with the opportunity of you know, Hobby could add.
Yeah, but there's a lot of talk about how, you know, we want to turn it into an industry. And it's great to see now the academy positions and you know, clubs now have probably more goalkeeping coaches and statisticians and physios and etc. But until every club has, you know, a good proper office staff there, mm-hmm. that's really then when you can say, right, there's actually an economy growing around this league, a proper industry.
Yeah, we're a long way away from that. And the other thing is, and just what you mentioned, talking about an industry, most of the teams in the Premier Division are hemorrhaging money.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how much of a industry I want to be involved with that has some balance sheets like that.
No, well, that's the industry in England, isn't it? And everywhere else. I don't know.
You keep telling me about other places. I don't give a shit, man. If they ban football in the UK tomorrow, I wouldn't blink an eye.
Right, first division time. UCD against, or Kerry against UCD. Kira's going for a 2-0 win to UCD.
Ooh. I was impressed with UCD the other night. I did enjoy their performance. And as I said, they should be disappointed. Kerry going well in the first division. I'm going to go 2-1 to Kerry.
2-1 to Kerry, okay. I'll follow the wife here. I'll go for a different score. I'll go 1-0 UCD, mainly because it would be a good result for Longford. I'm finding that a hard game to call otherwise.
Yeah.
Wexford against Athlone. I know you're not overly hot on this Wexford team.
No, I'm not. I think Athlone... Oh, the what's your boy's name? The old Instagrammer boy... Dylan Connolly.
Oh, Dylan Connolly, yeah.
Yeah,
we had him on the pod previously.
We did. I didn't know he played his first game for Athlone the other night, except for the fact that he had an Instagram reel about it or something like that. But, you know, you'd be satisfied with that as an Athlone fan, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on, I suppose, so that we can...
No, sorry, I just mean the result against Waterford, sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, but yeah. Just on Dylan Connolly, you know, I suppose a bit of profile about him, having been the only Irishman to play in the Club World Cup last year, playing in New Zealand. It'll be interesting to see what the standard, you know, how he gets on from mm-hmm. coming from that league into the First Division. That'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, certainly. But this game is in Ferry-Carrig.
Yeah.
1-1.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you. And Kira here going for... What has she gone for here? I think she's going for a draw in this one. Stick her down for a 2-2 draw. Her text isn't overly clear. I apologise, folks. It's a bit of a mess this week.
Jeez, how is a text? Just give me a list of results that you think is going to happen. Get it together.
Treaty United against Cork City, a Munster derby. Cork only, what, 10 points away from the title, I think, at this stage?
I think someone said that, all right. I think the issue is, like, and I suppose we saw it with Kerry there, the effort that, you know, was it like a Kerry had to put in to get the game to be a draw in the last couple of minutes, and then, you know, Sean Maguire shows up with two goals. I think that's the danger for a lot of teams in the First Division. I think it's going to be no different here on Friday. I'm going to go 3-0 to Treaty. Oh, sorry, Cork. Sorry.
And I'll put him down for 3-0 yeah. Treaty, Carol. Actually, Carol, if you're listening attentively, which I know you are, change that prediction for Kieran, the last one, to a 2-1 win for Athlone against Wexford. Thanks very much. You're going 3-0 Cork City.
Yeah.
Treaty have improved. I'm just going to follow you this week because you're smashing it this year. Yeah, I'll go 3-0 Cork City as well. Kira, it must be that deep entrenched hatred of Cork City. She's going for a 2-1 win to Treaty here. Finn Harps against Cove. Cove are having a very up and down season, but Jesus, if they want to be in the playoffs, they have to be winning this given how Harps are going.
Yeah, and, you know, for all... I'd say poor old McElhenney, like, he'll has a real head scratcher. He'll have to be going down into the under 14s to gather up a squad here, because half their team have been sent off in the
A couple of players go the other day as well. Lemingo, who...
Yeah, I meant to text you about that.
Harps fans are celebrating his departure. So it seems his only good game in his career at Harps was against Longford. That's just typical.
Right. Well, that's very disappointing. Because I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I was like, what? He was actually, I thought he was good, but obviously not. On one, is there any hand that you see that McElhenney will be able to get these boys? Okay.
No. Right. I'll go 2-1 Cove.
All right. I don't know.
Perhaps even going to score. No, I'll go 2-0 Cove.
Okay, I'm going to go 1-0 all Finn Harps.
Kieran's going 1-0 Finn Harps, obviously loyal to McElhenney. And then that brings us to the game on Saturday night, Longford Town against Bray Wanderers. Big game in the race for the playoffs.
Big game in the race for the playoffs is right. Confident still with Longford Town. I didn't see anything on Sunday that I'd be like, oh God, we're going to get stuffed by Bray. These have been a couple of decent games this season. The opener was 1-1. Longford then won. And then had that crazy game in the Carlisle in July. I'm going to go 2-1 to Longford Town.
Okay, Kieran's going for a 2-2, so it sounds like it'll be entertaining at least.
She's loyal to everybody. Oh, I love McElhenney. I hate Cork from 12 years ago, but nothing for you.
Well, she came and supported the town on Sunday, to be fair.
Okay.
Yeah. A couple of the town additions, particularly James Bailey, has looked good in the bits and pieces I've seen of him. So good to get
that free kick on Friday, on Sunday. I know it would have been, well, it was 3-1. That would have been a 3-1, but that was a sensational free kick, to be fair.
Bray have actually lost some very important players. Cian Doyle gone.
Where's he gone?
He went to some team in England.
Oh, okay. Brennan gone.
Brennan gone.
Hasn't played a lot, though.
They've lost a couple of important players. Now, one player that they have brought in, and forgive me, I don't have my notes in front of me. I was doing commentary notes there the other day. Do you remember the chap for Wexford last season when Longford were 2-0 up and he destroyed Longford down the wing?
He got
a
penalty.
He got her who sent off, and did he win the penalty as well?
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah, he signed for Bray, and I was kind of wondering where he went after that, because after that game he got an Irish under 19 call up.
Oh yeah, but you see, Wexford would be like, no, he's good. We don't want him.
But yeah, he kind of fell off the face of the earth after that. But he's rocked up at Bray, so he could be one to keep an eye on between now and the end of the season. But I don't think there's going to be much. I think Kira's prediction there could be a good one. I'll actually follow her and go for a 2-2. I don't think there's going to be a whole pile to separate these two teams.
That's why I went for a 1-0 or one goal win for Longford.
Very good. Okay, well, that was the BTS predictions league. Right, we were supposed to do a charity bet online last week, and we never did it. So that's my fault. I never chased you up on it, but we'll get back to business here.
And all the shite you do be talking to me, you never did the one thing you were supposed to do.
We'll get back to business thanks to Bar One Betting, who actually have a fantastic sign-up offer at the moment ahead of the new Premier League season, if that floats your boat. You'll get €70 in free bets when you stake €10 or more on your first online bet at odds of evens or greater. So you can check that out if you're over 18, of course, and see gamblingcare.ie for safer gambling advice. But in terms of the League of Ireland, what are we going for this week, Gaz? Let me get the markets up here.
Yep, lay it on me.
We'll let you go first, even though I'm logged. Actually, no, I'm logged into my account here. Let me see. Go with a Bowes win against Derry. I will go with over 2.5 goals in the Dundalk game. I'm going to go with Waterford to win in Sligo. That's just over 5-1. Let me just have a dip into the first division, see if there's anything here. Cove, I don't know. I'm going to stay away from them just because the long trip and everything. Cork, we'll throw them in there. Yeah, I'm starting to like this price a bit more. And I might go, will I go both teams to score for the Longford game? I might just go over 2.5 goals again. Yeah, I'm happy with this. Okay, so I'm going to go with Bowes to win at home to Derry. Over 2.5 goals to Dundalk, Galway. Waterford to win in Sligo. Cork to win in Limerick. And over 2.5 goals, Longford Town Bray. A 10% ACCA boost applied there by Bar One Betting. So for my €10 stake, just over 17-1. The return is €198.84. So I will gladly take that.
Yeah. I'm going for a Bowes win.
Okay, let me just log you in here. You're going for a Bowes win, okay?
Dundalk win.
Okay, you're keeping it plain and simple so far.
A Waterford win.
Sorry, a lot of little pop-ups here for some reason. Okay, so we're going Bowes, we're going Dundalk.
We're going Waterford.
Waterford. Okay.
And a draw in Harps.
A draw?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I never really back draws, but okay. A draw between Harps and Cove. That is just shy of 27-1 with a 5% ACCA boost. I'm locking you in.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, that's done. Thanks to Bar One Bet, and as ever, for their continued support of the charity bet. Right, just hotline time before we go, Gary.
Yeah, open her up.
Yep. Let's see. I think we have a good uptake on the hotline this week, actually, which is good to see. I think a lot of people just want to rub it in about the result the other night, but what can you do? Right, here we go. Very good uptake this week. SCI01, so a Pats fan. Has Kieran bought his centenary Dundalk jersey yet, or is he waiting for the next time Longford are playing their biggest rivals to head to the shop in Mordor? Is Mordor a Lord of the Rings reference, is it?
Mordor is a Lord of the Rings reference. I actually haven't. It would be a shithole. It would be the source of all evils. So.
Oh, okay, right.
Really good way to describe Oriel Park, to be fair. And I haven't thought of it like that. So whoever said that comment, my congratulations for it.
Well, yeah, I know Lyle is a big Lord of the Rings man, so he would have enjoyed that one. But look, I've already got a beautiful Longford Town centenary kit from a couple of seasons ago. So I know, I think
one will do. Yeah.
I think I'll keep my money in my pocket. I'm not overly thrilled with that effort from Dundalk, I have to say. They had a Savage retro one a couple of years ago, and I do have it. It was bought for me as a gift. It's the long sleeve one with the Harp Lager sponsor and the pinstripes. I think it's to commemorate when they won the double like 30 years back. It's a serious, serious kit.
Great.
KM2 Archive, did Bowes wearing a new jersey while giving Longford a bit of a spanking help both of you finally accept that maybe Bowes can actually concentrate on two things at once? I have to say, I think it's a nice looking jersey actually for all of the negativity around it.
Didn't really, I actually wasn't mad about the jersey. I think I saw a nice picture of the keeper's jersey, which I thought was nice. But I know they're kind of a myth to be bought in League of Ireland teams. Like, you can't, very hard to get the old League of Ireland keeper jersey by times. Mm. I thought it was nice.
I don't know, fair play. I look forward to seeing them pick up their silver medals after the cup final.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, look, you know, if they win the cup, then, you know, we can say that they concentrated on two things at the same time. Beating Longford in the FAI Cup third round doesn't qualify, I'm afraid.
Aidan M, the scoreline did not reflect how well Kian Moore did for a lot of the game. This is the Longford Bowes game. Captain,
yes, Manuel, I know who Kian Moore is.
I'm for our listeners, Gary. Captain Manuel, that's for El Manuel, Gary. Really good for a 21-year-old. Sean Moore got off an impressive shot, and Bailey's free kick was class. Denikin was very good too, but meeting aside, Battle Harden from Europe was tough. So there you go. Aiden, yeah. A few positives from the Longford performance.
No, I just want to highlight that. I think that's actually something that we didn't mention. Like, this is probably, you know, the highest level of opponent that a lot of the Longford Town players would have faced, which is something actually I never really thought.
Rovers last year.
Yeah, fair.
Brian Doherty, pick your winner from tomorrow's draw. This was obviously before the draw, but who are you with now after the draw?
Pats maybe.
Could it be a case of Drogheda like a couple of years ago, winning the cup and ending up in a relegation playoff?
Yeah, could be a repeat of that, but I think Pats need to do something because the league is finished.
I couldn't really give you a proper answer, to be honest. I think Pats might get to the final, but as I said earlier, if Waterford or Drogheda or Dundalk beat them in the final, I wouldn't be stunned. Nathan O'Reilly, tough loss to take for Kerry at the Showgrounds. 4-0 doesn't tell the full story of the game, as we played well in parts. We just failed to take our chances in front of goal. The ref was shite as well. Full focus on the playoffs for the rest of the season. Daniel Foran, after absolutely nothing of note happening in Albania on Thursday, absolutely nothing of note happening in Richmond on Sunday, will you please let us know when something of note happens? Will do, Daniel, fair play. Never ending, has the Shams pitch invader been completely ignored, or will a stadium ban come in? Well, you got your answer today, never ending. Thomas Tormey, apparently it's the first time since the league went to two divisions that all eight FAI Cup quarterfinalists were from the Premier. Any idea how the new third tier will affect the cup? Will its teams be intermediate or senior? I'm not sure on that. As I said, we might give that new third tier a bit of coverage next week ahead of the start.
That's actually an interesting question. Like, what level are they going to be, set to? I don't remember ever reading that about that. Like, where are they going to sit?
Yeah.
You know, are they going to like join in the second round?
Yeah.
Or something. Okay. Yeah, cool.
Get on to next week. Colm, the gap to the first division looked huge in Daly Mount yesterday. Great away crowd, but you had very little to scream about. Not a case of Longford filling the togs more. They had nothing with which to fill them. Connor, Waterford didn't play well. Still won, which is a great thing considering we couldn't buy a win 3 months 3 months ago. Athlone played unreal. Their number 14 was immense. I'll have to look at FAI Connect and see who that was. It's probably the first season in years where anyone in the quarters can win the cup. Can you guess off the top of your head who number 14 is for Athlone?
I'll tell you right now. Is it Tete? No, it's Lombato.
Oh.
Gideon. Or Grady.
Grady Lombato.
Gideon Tete. Yeah, sorry. Well, he caused Longford a bit of a problem there on the bank holiday himself, so...
Yeah, consistency is his problem. This is from Owen. First time I fully believe Bray could possibly beat a Premier side if it came to it. I think only us or UCD can. Proud of the effort. Another day we win it. Maybe try the five at the back again on Saturday. See if it makes us better at the back. Hogan 10 out of 10s in goals, which is great to see. Yeah, they're without... Jimmy Corcoran's injured at the moment. The young lad Hogan, who I think only... He only signed from Bose 19s or something. He stepped in the last three or four games and has done well.
What happened to Corcoran?
He's just injured. I can't remember what the injury is, but he missed the last four games. Could be a shoulder injury maybe or something like that, but there you go. Declan Crosby, did you get a burger in the Bald Eagle? We got a lovely welcome in College Corinthians in Cork. They had a coffee van doing toasted sandwiches on the way in. We also bought a couple of homemade buns off a wee girl who was selling them outside her house from across the ground. Well, that's nice to hear. No, it didn't go to the Bald Eagle.
I shouldn't have mentioned that. Revenue will be down straight down on top of her.
All the vape shops and everything, no problem. But a little girl selling buns, yeah. I didn't get a burger in the Bald Eagle. Thanks to all the Bose fans who got in touch with me with food recommendations.
Just on that, I did get a kebab.
Was it in your Pasha place?
No, I didn't go that far.
Passed it. Took a picture, meant to send it to you, forgot.
Yeah, good man. No, I went to Dublin Kebab.
One of our listeners last week.
Well, I have been there before, but went in and what did I get? A kebab tray, mixed kebab tray, no salad, just sauce. It was a Sunday and it was quite late. It was actually quite tasty. Very happy with it. Definitely would recommend to a friend.
Okay, I went to the back page. I have to say, they've got a great, they're spoiled for choice around Daily Mount there, aren't they? Between pubs and food places. Unbelievable.
You went to the back page after?
Before.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
I went before, got a pizza there because I am a glutton for pizza. I'd eat pizza morning, noon and night. And I ordered, it seemed to be the most popular one on the menu anyway. I ordered the Katie Taylor, which is double pepperoni and chorizo. And apparently, a local tells me it used to be called the Conor McGregor, but obviously he's off the menu now. So it's the Katie Taylor, and it was absolutely delicious. Some lovely pints as well. Nice spot, good layout, but they do lose a mark for not having the Pats Rovers game on the telly.
Oh, it was the back page that didn't have that.
Yeah, I didn't want to name them, but.
Oh no, you have to name and shame for something like that. There's
Community
on
Shield
that.
On every TV and no League of Ireland. Yeah, not good enough.
Send in the Food Safety Authority, get them out of there.
good pizza though. And finally, Simon Canning, fair play to Castlebar Celtic. They brought a decent number of supporters over to the dock and made some noise to encourage their lads. I actually seen some of the videos from the Lily White. It was absolutely hopping. They were having great crack. We obviously had a great time over in Castlebar last year. I wasn't sure whether they'd bring many up to Dundalk with them, but they surely did. They made a great day of it. So a great, great bunch of lads down there, it has to be said.
Yeah, 100%. We did have a great day down there. A nice little setup down in Castlebar. It was a shame. You know, it was probably a bit of a novelty for, Castlebar having to go to, a Premier Division team. But it would have been great for them if they were able to have another home
tie
like that, because it would have been great crack. But lovely little stadium down in Castlebar, and hopefully we'll see them again at this stage next year.
Yep. Right, that's it for this week's show. Myself, Kieran Burke, and Gary Riley signing off for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. And thanks again to our charity bet partners this season, Bart One Betting. But for this week, from Kieran and Gary, we'll chat you soon.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.